Shalom. We have a very interesting Gemara tonight. We're in Piska Nun, in the second chapter of Rav Masachet Shabbat, Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata. This is the Gemara on Daf Lamed, which tells us, if you remember, we've been discussing how Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, eventually got the gates of the Beit HaMikdash to open because of the zchut, the merit of David, his father. And now we get to the celebration, consecration
yeah.
Of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Holy Temple. And it says in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Aleph, the Book of Kings, 1, chapter 8, B'yom HaShmini, on the eighth day of the celebration, Shalach et ha'am, Shlomo HaMelech sent the people home, V'yivarchu et ha'melech, and they blessed the king, V'yalchu lo'aleim, they went back to their tents, went back to their families, Smechim v'tovei lev, happy and with a good heart, celebrating all the greatness, all the happiness, all the kindness that Hashem did, again, for David. It's in his merit that God opened up the gates and we built the Mikdash. And Am Yisrael, God's nation. And now Chazal are going to Doresh, very interesting Midrash, on each two words, or each word of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, okay, they went home, Vayalchu lo'aleihem, they went to their tents, Shematzu neshotehem betahara, they found their wives pure, ritually pure. All the women had recently gone to the mikveh, and they were all able to have intimate relations with their husband. Now, the obvious question is, what this is, what we expect to find in on the most holy day where we're celebrating the building of the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. Smechim, and they were happy, shenehenu miziv hashchina, that the people had the pleasure of the divine presence. Well, this sounds like a more spiritual happiness. V'tuvei lev, and good-hearted, shenitabru neshotehem shel kol echad ve'echad, V'yalda zachar. Here we go back to the women, and they all became pregnant on that night, and they gave birth to, after 9 months, they gave birth to sons. Now, you know, the first drasha, you know, you could get past that. The third drasha, you know, that alone, or the first, or the third. But you have the middle drasha in the middle, which lichora is mafsik, which is chotzeitz, which separates between the first drasha and the third drasha, right? If you're talking about the men should be happy that their wives were pure and they could have intimate relations with them, then should come the third bracha, move it up one, and they became pregnant and they gave birth to boys. But here you have in the middle a spiritual bracha, which seems to separate between, it's like, oh, all these type of blessings don't jive so well with the spiritual event that we're talking about. So Rav Kook talks about this, these brachot. Ahitaluta ruchanit. And by the way, maybe we will point out, it's important to point out, that in the Beit HaMikdash, just like what do we learn in to have in the shul, in the synagogue, to have the mechitza, separation between men and women. Right. We learn it from the Beit HaMikdash. So there is that separation in the Beit HaMikdash, and you're not supposed to be thinking about your wife while you're in the temple. But what is it, the first thing that's on your mind when you come home? There's something out of the ordinary going on. Explains Rav Kook, Haitalut haruchanit kishete'are biyachid o betzibur, yesh shetetzer lanetiyot ativiyot lema'et oz hachayim shebahen. He says, there are those who, it's true, when they arrive at a spiritual height, at a spiritual climax, comes on the account of their natural leanings, their natural desires, their physical lives.
It means it limits that desire.
Yeah, right. In other words, the fact that we have a tendency to pit the spiritual and the physical as two oppositions, Rav Kook says, it's not totally off. There are people, it's not uncommon to have that. There's a very interesting piska in Orot HaKodesh. In Chilek Gimel of Orot HaKodesh, it's called Musar HaKodesh. And this Rav Kook has two Musar books about morals and ethics. And in the introduction of Musar HaKodesh, it's called Rosh Davar, Piska Yudbet, Rav Kook deals head-on with this phenomena. B'tchilata shel hofa'at yirat Elohim. He says, at the beginning, and as we'll see, it's just at the beginning, and it really is not the ideal. Nevertheless, it's not uncommon. It's a common phenomena that at the beginning of Yirat Elohim, when a person becomes a Baal Tshuva, he wasn't religious, he doesn't have that awe of God, he doesn't have that I-thou relationship, and then all of a sudden he gets turned on from somehow or other. At the beginning of that Chazara B'Tshuva, על האדם הכללי והפרטי מביאה היא אותו לידי שימום ובטלנות. It's not uncommon that at the first stage that Yirat Hashem shall get him to become lazy, to lose his drive, to lose his zest. And that life, when a person is living in a non-religious life, where all of his life is based on the here and the now, on the eating and the drinking and the pleasures and the work and the money and everything is here and now and everything is, you're driving and you're busy, and then all of a sudden when you switch gears and move to a spiritual gear, it's a natural tendency to lose your natural drive for the physical world that's what used to keep you running. And you become bored and you become a batlan. Batlan is like somebody who's passive. Who ovedet ritzono. A person can lose his self-will, his free will, his free choice. Vedatzmiyut ha-mutiyut shilo. And he even loses himself. And there's a very common phenomena among Baalei Tshuva where a person in the secular world, he runs the show. I run the show. I am the free will. I'm the boss. I can eat whatever I want. I drive whenever I want. I wear whatever I want. I say whatever I want. And then all of a sudden you bring in this God, this outside force, even out of your own free will. Okay, you chose to bring him into the picture. But all of a sudden he's telling me, oh, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. You have to do this, you have to do that. And a person, inevitably, there's a good chance that he's going to lose himself at the first stage. Because it's a question of who's running the show. All of a sudden somebody else is running the show. Okay, so you don't need me, right? I have somebody else who tells me, who makes all my decisions for me.
Follow the Rambam as well, sort of the comment that you go in the opposite extreme. If you've been very over exuberant in your desires, so you know, in when you start becoming Baal Teshuva and you're shocked by previous behavior, so there's a natural move to the opposite
to extreme. Go to the other extreme. Okay, that's a good point. Mipnei shenagabo hayirah rak bitzdadeh hachitzoniim. The problem is, inevitably, whenever you start a new topic, you start slowly and surely and build yourself up. Yirat Hashem, the awe of God, when it first appears in its first external expression, that weakens a person. I don't know if you people remember in the Tufshin Mems in the 80s, that was when there was this big fad in the Chel Avir, in the Air Force, that a lot of pilots became Baalei Tshuva, one after the other. Most of you were young then, or maybe you weren't even in Israel then. And it was in all the newspapers, and everyone was getting, you know, hey, we're going to lose our Air Force. You know, the Israeli Air Force, that's our big edge over our enemies. And here, one pilot after the other is stopping to fly. They're stopping to do miluim. They're just going to learn in yeshiva, and they don't want to have anything to do with the national benefit. Because they want to concentrate on the religious, and they want to concentrate on God, and they want to concentrate on my new identity. And, like you said, go to the other extreme. Lo hafcha et hapra'ut varish'a hasfuga b'ma'oto achomranit. Right? When Yirat Hashem, in its lower external expression, when it begins, it has yet to straighten the wildness of a person's physical drives. A person's physical drives have a natural wildness. Not that different, lahavdil, but also not that different from what we find in the animal world. In terms of the drinking and the procreation and the sleeping and what Rav Kook is saying is that true Yirat Hashem does not eradicate a person's nature. What it does is it takes that drive and it directs it in the proper direction. But the idea is there is that first stage, and that's where Rav Kook is saying here, where yish, sometimes it happens, and as we just, as he himself writes in Rav Musar HaKodesh, it's not uncommon at the first stage that when a person has a spiritual advancement, sometimes it comes at the expense of his zest, his happiness, his drive regarding physical things. Lo zoti omnam derech Hashem Hashlema. But this is not the proper, this is not the complete Derech Hashem. Okay, if it happens at the beginning, like we've said many times, there are a lot of ups and downs and trial and error on the way. Nevertheless, you should know from the beginning that this is not the goal. Ha'aliyah haruchanit shetavo b'shlemuta ayidei berkat Hashem sha'alamo. When Hashem gives His blessing on the nation of Israel at this climax, we were waiting for hundreds of years to build the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim. Finally it comes. He lo tamit et hatzivyon shel kol netiyah tivit, ki im tachshir ota. It does not lessen a person's desire for his wife, but it purifies it. It makes it kosher. There's a book, Rabbi Shmuel Boteach, Kosher Sex. And that's what Rav Kook is talking about. Lifanka. It even pampers it. When a person is spiritually proper, he wants to pamper himself. All of his powers are godly. Litahara, to purify them. Shetiye pona lemala litzada Torah enoshi, velo litzada ziyum abehemi hagas. To raise it and to purify it, that there is no contradiction between the fact that the blessing that we got at this spiritual high in the Beit HaMikdash is to find your wife and be able to have intimate relations. And one, you know, if you think about it, I don't know, before Rav Kook, you know, when I was learning in Yeshiva High School, my Rebbe, we used to skip over the Agadita. So I don't know how people explain this before Rav Kook, but if you think about it for a minute, that is what Chazal are saying, right? It's difficult to understand this any other way. Chazal are saying this isn't Rav Kook. You know, why are they bringing the wives and the intimate relationships into this story at all? It's Chazal who bring it in. Ubiot hanetiyot hativiyot mitarot ayidei koach anaga shlema vazikuch hasichli vamusari shel ba'alehen hem az mukhsharim lasig al yedei otan hanetiyot. Those very drives which are full of life. Rav Kook, I remember I might have mentioned it once, that during the, there was a big problem in the Tafresh Pays in the 1920s when mass transportation started in Israel and they started playing soccer games on Shabbat. And Rav Kook called the head of Maccabi for a private meeting. And the head of Maccabi came out afterwards and the press asked him, you know, what did Rav Kook tell you? So it's very clear that Rav Kook made a very strong impression on this soccer buff. Because he was speaking like in spiritual terms. He said, Rav Kook spoke about the holiness of soccer, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Chafetz B'chaim. I mentioned this to somebody who says, you know, you can't quote the head of Maccabi, you know, a Dvar Torah from Rav Kook. You know, people have selective hearing, you know, cognitive dissonance. He heard what he wanted to hear. Afterwards, he went on and said, you know, and just that we shouldn't play on Shabbat, and we'll try and accommodate it, et cetera, et cetera.
We learned that article you brought us.
I did bring it?
From the Iton, which was the reporter report.
Oh, so that term, which in the Agudat Yisrael newspaper, the Kol Yaakov, they just blew a fuse. They said, this is too much. How could Rav Kook say that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is saying the Yamim Noravim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech HaFetz B'chaim, that this is the Chaim, this is the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is talking about? And I have no doubt that Rav Kook said it, because that's not the type of idea that anybody else would even think of. Obviously, he's not only referring to football, obviously. But the fact is that is what Rav Kook is saying here. When a person is spiritually proper, all of his life and all of his drives harmonize together in without contradictions. Because this, the attraction of a man for his wife, even for the intimate relations, that also comes from the same God, Melech HaFetz B'chaim. Right? You could use that that quote here is no less, maybe even more applicable. In terms of becoming pregnant, having children, HaFetz B'chaim. Right? That God wants life. הם אז מוכשרים להשיג על ידי אותן הנטיות את המטרה יותר שלמה של הכוונה הטבעית שיש בנטיות ההנה על פי החוכמה האלוקית. Now, Rav Kook stresses, these desires are very strong desires. And it's not an accident. And there are only two possibilities. Either God made a mistake when he created the sex drive, that Rav Kook is going to talk about afterwards, because obviously that's not a possibility for us. God is perfect, he doesn't make mistakes. So what's the only other possibility? That it is meant to be very strong. Right? And V'chesed Elyon B'sha HaMushara Sh'Ramamut Keren Yisrael, the godly kindness which rests upon us as he elevated the national and the spiritual level of Israel on this happy occasion of the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. Az be'et yesod beit tifartenu, hakol nikbatz biyachad b'asimcha Elohit. Everything by God is united. There is one God, and he created the intellect, and he created the emotion, and that's what we've been talking about the last couple of piskot, right? How the Beit HaMikdash is also Torah and also Avodah. It is also the intellectual and the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron HaBrit, the Torah, which is at the heart, in the center of the temple. Together, well, what is the service of the Kohanim and the songs of the Levi'im? It's an emotional experience. So everything, Simcha b'mitzvah b'yod hayoter elyona, the highest level of rejoicing through a mitzvah. קביעת הבית הגדול והקדוש שממנו תצא תורה ואורה לישראל ולעולם כולו עד היד. By the way, when we talk about simcha, the term simcha rings a bell. There is a mitzvah d'oraita of v'simachet ishto, of on Yom Tov, when we're celebrating the Yitziat Mitzrayim, when we're celebrating the giving of the Torah on Shavuot, when we're celebrating the holy clouds of the tabernacles on Chag HaSukkot. One of the mitzvot, mid-oraita, one of the 613 mitzvot, is to v'samachat ishto, to make your wife, if possible, if she's tahora, if she is pure, to have marital relations. And this is something very, very interesting that is so far from the Christian mindset. In the article I mentioned just last week that I'm writing about the skipping chapters in the when teaching Tanakh with children, skipping chapters which are thought inappropriate. So the Christians, they skip most of the Tanakh. They don't learn Tanakh. They learn selected, they call them children's Bibles, with pictures. And it's like, it's so censored and so so mi'ubad, it's not so non-original. But part of it, when you look into why they do it, and by the way, the Catholics started a lot before the Protestants, and all of the chokrim, all the professors who write about the issue, in particular, there's a professor, Ruth Bottigheimer. She's not Jewish. She's a Quaker. And she really did an unbelievably extensive, she has a book, 300-page book on the topic of children's Bibles. And she writes that even though the Catholics try and expel and censor any kind of man-woman relationship from the church, from the Tanakh, from learning with children, the Protestants, who supposedly should be a little more liberal, they still have strong Catholic influences on this topic. Not as much as the Catholics, where the Catholics say that the ideal priest has to swear chastity, poverty, and obedience, right? That he won't get married. In the Protestants, they are allowed to. And that's why I was under the impression, I never learned Christianity in depth, I was under the impression that the Protestants are closer to us on this issue. And Bottigheimer says, no. They see the man-woman relationship, even the Protestants, see it as something b'di'evid. They quote a lot, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says that I was conceived in sin. And the Christians explain that that is talking about that anything that has to do with a man-woman relationship is sin. It's bad. It comes from Adam and Eve realizing that they were naked, etc., etc., and that this whole topic is taboo. And here we see, it's not just Rav Kook. The Gemara is very clearly saying that by us, it's not at all that way. And again, it's not even this one-time thing in the Beit HaMikdash, where you might think, okay, everyone was on such a high spiritually, you know, so, you know, they could do everything. We're talking about every Yom Tov, we have the same mitzvah, because this is part of Simcha, of having pleasure with God is having pleasure with your wife. Hinei horu ha-ma'ura'ot et ha-tochen shel ha-shlama ha-elokit ha-ruchanit, she'inena pone lema'et et eden ha-chayim, ki'im letzachtzecham u'letaharam. The high, lofty, spiritual pleasure and experience is not at all meant to stunt a person's physical pleasure. Adarabba, the opposite, to the contrary. It is meant to polish it and purify it. And that's the idea. Rav Kook is midayek. They found their wives pure. We all know what that means in halacha and what they did that night. But the idea of polishing and purifying this topic. Not to lessen the desires at all, but adarabba, just to purify them, hen enan klal sotrot. This not at all does it contradict et ha-ma'or Elohi milumalot et ha-nefesh ha-Torah. To have that godly light up a person's spiritual soul. Ve'or Elohi haziv ha-tahor ha-mimalei nefashot tahorot. Hu atzmo po'el shiyu ha-matarot shel ha-netiyot ha-tiviyot mutzlachot b'tachlit ha-ma'ala shelahen. And this same God who wants man to be happy and connects the family life, the intimate life, as part of that spiritual happiness, he wants that spirit, that intimacy, to be successful as well. Now, what does it mean successful? Halachically, there are two mitzvot d'oraita involved. Right? We're not talking about Yom Tov. If it wasn't a holiday, that would be a third mitzvah. What are the two mitzvot regarding marital relations? One is Peruvu, having children, and that we'll talk about. The second is Ona, that there's an obligation for a man to have intimate relations with his wife whenever she wants to, right? When she shows that she's interested, before he goes on a business trip. There's a minimum of once a week, depending on what you work, some jobs even once a day. And the Shulchan Aruch goes into such tiny details of how to do it. And if you look in Sefer HaChinuch, I remember when I saw this the first time, I was surprised. I couldn't believe that having marital relations with your wife and making sure that she has pleasure, that's the mitzvah. Doing that, rising above that, it's not just an animalistic thing that the male enjoys, but making sure that the female has pleasure, that turns a taking experience into a giving experience, an altruistic experience. So we want this relationship to be successful. So the men, they came back from the temple, from the celebration. It doesn't say, and they had relations, in a crude way. It says, in a very tsanua, very pure way, they found their wives pure. That's the whole idea, to purify these desires. This is the godly goal. Again, not to lessen, because it's that God who made these strong drives, but to purify. Halatan mishiflutan, to raise them from their low level. Umeafsharut ivutan ledarkei choshech. Rav Kook is not naive. He knows what this drive did to Moshe Katsav and to Bill Clinton. And I think we once mentioned Sefer Hasidim, Shimshon, right? Chazal say, we just mentioned this in the Mesilat Yesharim to the women. Shimshon, Chasid Sheba Chasidim. David, Chasid Sheba Chasidim. Shlomo, Chacham Sheba Chachamim. Shimshon, Gibor Sheba Giborim. V'kulam Nichshelu Biglal Yetzer HaRayot. Right? The strongest of strong men, Samson. The wisest of all wise men, Solomon. And the most righteous of all righteous, David HaMelech. You read Tehillim, you read the book of Psalms. He talks more about his love affair with God and his desire for Shekhinah and for Chatzrot Beit more than any other book in Tanakh. David is the most righteous of righteous. But this desire can overcome a person and get him to do the stupidest things, even if he's the smartest of smart and the strongest of strong and the most religious of religious. Whether it's in Siman Tafresh Yud Tet of Sefer Chassidim, you should see it inside. It's a very, very, whenever I speak with young people about boy-girl relationships, I always mention that. And it's a very, very strong, you know, hey, if it happened to them, you know. Right? This idea of being happy with God, remember, where was happy with God? Where does that come in? That's B. There's A, B, and C. A, they found their wives pure. C, they had relations and they conceived boys. B, they were happy with God. That's smack in the middle, where without a doubt, that's what the rabbis are saying. It's one and the same. It's all connected. It's a iskat chavila. That's a package deal. Behakarat sichlit vehergeshit. Notice again, Rav Kook keeps coming back with love and desire in the Beit HaMikdash, and also for your wife is also logical. It has to be an intellectual love and an emotional love. Right? We're not just talking about a physical, animalistic love. We're talking about intellect. Animals don't have that aspect between male and female. Emotional love, right? Loyalty. Animals don't have that aspect between males and female. Lalecha bidracha, then where does this emotion and intellect come from? It all comes from the Torah. It all comes from the Beit HaMikdash. And that's where you start, that's where you charge your spiritual and physical batteries, and from there you go home and are supposed to continue this godly spirituality. Lalechit bidrachav be'ahavat emet. To go in the way of God, to know what true love is. Vakara amuka pnimit. And here, Rav Kook, as is often the case, he's here also talking about all loves. All loves are meant to be deep, emotional, and intellectual, true love. He's very clearly talking about the love for your wife. All right, that's the topic. And here Rav Kook is referring to something, some of you may remember, we learned this, I always say 3-4 years ago. My wife reminded me it's been 7 years that we've been learning together already. So I'm pretty sure we did this. Olat Riyah, we never, just the first year we learned, so it was the first year. Anamud Sadi Gimel. in Olat Riya, we don't have time to go through it, is a very famous piska, which we've also mentioned several times since then, that Rav Kook writes that one of the lessons of Akedat Yitzchak is that before the sacrifice of Isaac, before that whole chapter, the world saw the greatest sacrifice to God is to sacrifice your son. In other words, in paganism, love of family and love of God conflict, and we want to show the gods that we love them even more than our firstborn son. Rav Kook says that is one of the chidushim of Akedat Yitzchak, where love of your children and love of your wife are branches. Rav Kook calls them branches of Ahavat Hashem. Who created that nature to love your children? Who gave you that, made that super strong desire to love your wife? It's from the same God. And Rav Kook, in the Midot HaRiyah, the beginning of the first piska of Amidat Ava, Rav Kook writes, Chayav Halev Litmalei Ahava Lakol. Right? A person, really, if you're a lover, you love everything. And you love animals, and you love goyim, and you love nature, and you love people, and you love your wife, and you love your children, and you are a lover. Obviously, there are different levels, right? There's no comparison between the love that a person has for your wife. But by him, if a person is a lover, every love is amplified that much more. And why is this important? My fifth grade teacher once mentioned, told us a story. I won't tell you about which Rav, because I don't believe it's true, although I saw it afterwards in Art Scroll today with that. I was just curious. I said, I just remembered the story, and I said, I can't believe he told us that story. And then I just Googled the keywords, and I saw it's in Art Scroll. That one of the greatest rabbis of about 100 years ago, he had a son who died. And as he sat Shiva, somebody asked him, you know, how are you managing? You don't have questions, and how is it affecting your religiosity or your prayer or your relationship with God? So he supposedly answered, as long as I had a son, I loved God with half of my heart, and I loved my son with the other half. Now that God took my son, I can love God with my whole heart. And I remember as a kid saying to myself, you know, give me a break. You know, I thought that's, you know, there's something off there.
Right.
Nevertheless, if you look at Judaism as a religion, like the Art Scroll does, without getting that, it's a big topic in unto itself. You know, Judaism, a religion, is everything that is about this Mr. Yudke Vavke who tells us do, don't. And without the, if you don't look at the ideals of God, then you can really miss the boat. And Rav Kook is saying the exact opposite. He's saying, if we have a nature, a strong nature, to love our family, that is a godly nature. And it is an expression of Ahavat Hashem. Because giving is godly. Loving is godly. The whole Torah is about love, right? Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Anyway, Bekitzor, so that's what Rav Kook is saying. Ahavat emet, vakara amuka pnimit. True love, whether it be love of God, love of your wife, afterwards love of your children, it is all one. It's one and the same. And it comes from the same address. V'tuvelev. Again, what does the Gemara say? They were good-hearted, that they had the religious, they felt the ziva shechina, the holy providence. Tov halev yavo kishanetiot hativiyot en kolot et mataratan. When is a person good-hearted? When he's at homeostasis. When everything is okay. When his learning is going okay. His davening is going okay. His family relations are going okay. His work is going, his parnas is going. Life is complex. Tov lev, all is, again, it's a package deal, which starts with Ziva Shechina. It starts with the godly providence. Lo rak lahashlim et hativit. We're not only talking about b'di'evet that a person has to begrudgingly give in to these animalistic desires. Right? There's a Gemara that one of the Amoraim says that we should appreciate our wives even for just for two things. A, they raise our children for us. B, they keep us away from sin. You know, thinking and hirurim and doing things with other women. And, you know, they can, you know. Rav Kook says, that is really b'di'evet. That is not the desire that God wanted to create. Shehipi kara nozda rak bishvil godel ha'erech shel tachlita. This is a very important quote. You know, every now and then in Rav Kook, you see, well, here he's really saying it out in a way that he can be quoted, right? He's saying that the strong desire, why did God make this super strong desire that Freud, Lahavdil, says that this is the sex drive is what makes the world go round? The reason is because it obligates us to love. God wants to make it inevitable that we love. He wants to have families, to have a proper atmosphere, altruistic surrounding, that a person not be egocentric. God created this super strong, rak bishvil godol ha'erek shel tachlita, because of the great, awesome goal that the sex drive gets us to love. And that's why it's so strong, because love is such a strong ideal, godly ideal. Al ken, ayedik dushat ha'chaim, through the holiness of life, yuval ha'inyan ha'letzad ha'elyon shebetachlit ha'netiyah. This gets us to that goal. Ve'zeh nitbarer, this is clarified, mima shenitabra ishto shel kol echad v'yalda zachar. What does mean clarified? It was a process. The first night, again, they found their wives pure. After a month, there's safik herayon. You think, maybe she's pregnant. After 3 months, okay, we know that she's pregnant. After 9 months, it turns out that it's even a boy. Right? Without getting into the feminist issues, that's what was accepted at the time. And here Rav Kook also explains it. V'kama tov ledorot ishpiu ha'ovdim ha'noladim. How much benefit, how many generations benefited from those who had that spiritual experience as they served God, and their children who were born out of it. Chazal say that when a fetus is conceived, it is based on the spirituality of what his parents are thinking about or feeling at the time. Now, when these men came out of that spiritual high of the Beit HaMikdash, Rav Kook says, we don't know how many generations this even lasted, not just that first generation. Right? If he was conceived in purity, so he had that advantage for the next generation, and the advantage for the next generation, and so on. Biotam memula'im berigshei kodesh, benetiyot lahod or, elelyon va'avat amo alatzari yoter na'ala. Ha'ovdim ha'ikarim, we're just going to read it quickly to get to the last point. Ha'ovdim ha'ikarim hemazcharim. Why, what is so special about conceiving a boy and having birth to a boy? What is the symbolism here? Im sha'nekevot heina ozrot ne'amanot. It's important to stress that women are loyal companions, right? That's what Chava is called, ezer kenegdo, a helper. Aval b'sha'a romema v'mukhsheret hazot, she'rachok rachok hu limatze kamoah. In this super rare, once in a history, well, unfortunately we had a second Beit HaMikdash, but it wasn't like the first, and the third, maybe they'll hopefully surpass even the first, but so we'll say twice in Jewish and human history, with a super high spiritual dedication of the Beit HaMikdash, of the temple, kach yatova shlema she'poalim ikariyim zecharim, yivaldu b'hachana mat'emet kula l'chifetz Eloki ha'shalim shayachai az b'liv ha'goy kulo. The idea of males, Rav Kook will just summarize it in a nutshell, males symbolize three things. Number one, they have more spiritual potential than females. They have more mitzvot, they wear tefillin, they learn Torah. Number two, they are more active. And this is also considered, the Maharal writes that the man is more active, the woman is more passive. And also the man represents the more intellectual connection, that a man's relationship with God is mainly through the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, of learning Torah, where women are even exempt from that mitzvah. Okay, today, as we've learned, Rav Kook says that it's important for girls to learn Torah as well, but Mida Oraita, and it was always that men have that more intellect, and the intellect, as the Kuzari writes, is supposed to be the king. Emotion is very important, and what we've been speaking about, the Beit HaMikdash, harmonizes the emotion and the intellect, and family and intimate love harmonizes the emotion and the intellect. And a man and a woman are also harmonizing the intellect and the emotion. But the intellect is more constant. It's more eternal. The emotion has ups and downs. Truth, intellectual truth, what was true 1,000 years ago is true today, is going to be true 1,000 years from now, or 1,000,000 years from now as well. And that's why, says the Kuzari, our decisions should not be shooting from the hip, emotional, but it should be more in, again, there are men like this, there are women like that, but what's associated with the more masculine is cool, thought out, intellectual decisions, which should influence the emotional. And that is why, not only that, another aspect of the son, a son is your continuation. When a person is, that's the word ben, from the word bone, he is what you build, right? When a person is complete, part of that completion is expressed through the fact that it continues. You want it to continue. And when a man has a son, right, that's what we're talking about, a father fathering a son, that is a continuation of that high level of completion. Because again, a high level of completion, you want to stay there. You don't want to ever come down. And that is where we were at, both spiritually and physically, both intellectually and emotionally, at that special moment, at the climax of Yerushalayim, Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata, the spiritual and the metaphysical and the physical and the metaphysical, all of this together is also connected with the idea of having a son who hopefully will continue, and it symbolizes the continuation of that spiritual climax. Maybe one last point that Rav Kook talks about here is that spiritual decisions can clarify the complexity of life, and that is why it's more important than the emotion. A lot of times, the example of the war, when we have enemies who hide behind human shields, and a lot of times the pilots and the soldiers, they talk about moral dilemmas, you know, finding it difficult, you know, to kill civilians. I know that it's right, and I know that our civilians are no less important than their civilians. Nevertheless, something feels wrong. And this is an example of where the intellectual clarity has to direct the emotion. That is the advantage of the male over the female, symbolically, right? That if we start making our decisions based on emotion, that doesn't feel right, then we're going to be making a lot of mistakes in life and doing a lot of things which are counterproductive. The emotion is very important, not only legitimate, but it's also godly. Nevertheless, the zachar, the intellect, is that much more decisive and should be the mashpia, the influencer, as opposed to the emotion, which is important, but it should be influenced and directed by the intellect. Yeah.